Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
The way that we create systems, they have to work for us, first of all. And it doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to be something that makes sense to everybody else. But if it works for this person, like they go with that system. Like there is always a way to kind of like streamline and like optimize it a little bit. But all of us, especially small business owners, first of all, have to go with what works for us and kind of just look at that and streamline that, like find more optimal ways versus listening to somebody who will like come and say, okay, like do it this way, or like this is the way that like works, which is like not always the case.
Welcome back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. If you haven't yet listened to my recent conversations with the improv virtuoso and speaker Peter Margaritis and with Sarah McIntyre of Bright Inbound Marketing, then go ahead and check them out after you've listened to today's conversation. I'm really excited today to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Natasha Vorompiova of Systems Rock. She works with owners and founders and their teams to help them take control of their businesses through detailed systems and processes. This allows them to take on more clients and increase capacity without hiring new team members and scale up, of course, all while reducing stress and making smarter decisions. Of course, you know that I'm a big fan of systems, so I'm really looking forward to learning about Natasha's take on all this. In our discussion today, Natasha talked to me about the benefits of documented systems and processes and which ones you should look at first. She talked about building dashboards that follow your customer's journey, and she explained how to add value to data by providing insights in an engaging manner and insights that drive further action. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Natasha Vorompiova. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Brussels in Belgium, Natasha Vorompiova, who's the founder of Systems Rock and works with owners and founders and their teams to help them take control of their business through detailed systems and processes, and through that allows them to take on more clients and grow their business. So welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Natasha. It's a real privilege to have you as my guest.
It's really a pleasure, Jürgen. Thank you so much for having me.
Prana Malik, who was our guest on episode 265 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, introduced us and suggested that we have a conversation with you. So big hello to Prana.
Absolutely, will do.
As I say, your systems and processes, and also your into putting together dashboards where people can get a good overview of how things are operating in their business so that they can kind of get a very quick snapshot of where things are at and how they're trending. But before we start talking about all things systems and tools like that, give us a bit of a whistle-stop tour of your background and how you got to where you are today.
Absolutely. I started my business when we had just moved to Belgium, and that was shortly after my son was born, and I wanted to have flexibility of being at home with him, and my husband was traveling a lot. So I kind of like fell into having an online business, and it's been pretty challenging in the first few months. I wanted to do, or wanted to be a marketing consultant, because that was my background. But I really struggled with systems. And it was surprising to me because I've always been a super structured person, and I've managed a number of projects back when I was in the corporate world. And here I was totally not being able to manage myself. And because I tried to find the reason and I tried to find a solution for that, I was listening to a lot of interviews with established business owners, larger business owners, and the word that kept popping up was systems. And I'm just like, yeah, like it's easy for you to say, or it makes sense for you. You have larger business, you have these different products, you have larger team, like you should have systems, because to me, systems was like conveyor belts or like something that the large operation has to have. And then during one of the interviews, Laura Roder, who runs Meet Edgar, now she mentioned that systems can be as simple as a checklist, like for you to follow to complete a certain task. And I was just like, and it clicked for me. Like all of a sudden, I'm just like, oh my God, like I totally get it. So like I can simplify and create the simple systems for what I do, even when I am like a one-person business. And from there, that's what I started inquiring about, okay, like where can I create systems? Where can I create those checklists or like simple step-by-steps for myself? And like bit by bit, like that started to create difference in my business. And as I was talking to my fellow entrepreneurs, and I would advise them to do something or suggest something, because like all of a sudden just like, yeah, I can see that. Like this is what I do in real life. Like I don't, or I'm sure that no one of our listeners, it goes to a store and kind of just like goes around to look, figure out like where, or like they buy one thing there and one thing in another aisle. Like they come in, and especially if they are in a supermarket they've come to before, they follow a specific route in order like not to miss like anything that they want to buy. Like, even if they don't have a list with them, like when you follow the aisles, you know that you will end up at the cash register with mostly everything you wanted in your cart. So it's very similar in business, I realized. And that's when I dropped my idea of being an online marketer, and I created Systems Rock. And from there, I was basically just a few steps, a bit more like advanced than my like audience. So I was exploring as I was kind of still like building my own systems, but it really helped because I was growing my business and they were growing their businesses. And like it allowed me to see what is the best way to do it? Because pretty quickly, I also realized that there is no kind of one size fits all. It's not kind of just like systems in a box solution, because we're very different. Like we approach things differently. We like different ways of how tasks can be organized. Like somebody's a list person and somebody like needs to have a bunch of post-its, kind of like almost like a Kanban board. So it all came out of that experimentation very early and kind of like testing different things and seeing those early clients were reacting to what I was suggesting to them. But like, I never looked back. Like systems is very much my passion. And that's the part that I love so much about my work.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I've always been a very systems person. I kind of remember back as a child, even I would make catalog cards of the individual steps. In fact, that's how I did my study. And then I started realizing some things that I did that next time I did them and I couldn't remember exactly what I did. So I thought I'll just make a bunch of catalog cards to write down each step. And then on each catalog card, if it was a more complicated step or if I needed some additional information, I'd write it on that. And so I had that all through my life. And of course, when I started my own business, there's checklists involved and started doing videos online and a whole bunch of things. So it is absolutely fascinating, though, that it frees up, because the moment you do that, it gives you so much flexibility, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And it's funny that you should mention that you can like trace your admiration for systems like back to when you were a child. It was only like a few years ago that I remembered a story when I was, I must have been like 6, 7, 8, when I really wanted to help my grandfather to organize his workroom. And he was a metalsmith, so he had this like royal like rolls of like metal in his workroom, and like they were everywhere, and they were like scattered all over the place. They were like on the bench, under the bench. He had a like large shelf, and like it was like bugging me for weeks. And I'm just like, okay, like let me help my grandfather. Like, he's very busy. He doesn't have to organize it. So like I'll do it. So secretly, I went into his workroom and organized like all these quilled rolls like, by size and by color. And like I worked entire afternoon because like, they were so heavy. I was so tired. But then once I was finished, like I marveled at my work because like everything was just like so kind of spacious all of a sudden. And everything was like really like color coding was my thing from the very early age. So I went to get him and I brought him in and I was just like, oh my God, like he'll just thank me and he'll be so happy. He'll just like hug me and like tell me how much he loves me. And then when I brought him in, like I saw this expression of shock on his face and like, he didn't know like what to tell me. And he was just like, okay, this is nice, but now I will not be able to find anything. And I'm just like, what do you mean? Like I couldn't get it. And he's just like, yeah, because like, I really... the way that I had things, like I knew where everything was, like stuff that I need every day was kind of like on my bench, under my bench, like stuff that I did not need. It was like tucked away. And like now everything is mixed up. Like, I don't even know where to start. And like, that was like my first, like I was definitely like, I was feeling guilty, especially when I saw my grandfather kind of rearrange everything like back to where it was. But then I realized, like after the fact, going back, I realized that, yeah, the way that we create systems, they have to work for us, first of all. And it doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to be something that makes sense to everybody else. But if it works for this person, like they go with that system. Like maybe there is always a way to kind of like streamline and like optimize it a little bit. But all of us, especially small business owners, first of all, have to go with what works for us and kind of just look at that and streamline that, like find more optimal ways versus listening to somebody who will like come and say, okay, like do it this way. Or like, this is the way that like works, which is like not always the case.
Yeah, I think that's a great story, and it kind of highlights that the system has to fit your work processes. And I think that perhaps is why a lot of people kind of block using systems or reject kind of systems, so they don't work for me because we've got a different business model or whatever it might be.
I just wanted to make a quick comment about that, because a lot of times we hear these promises that like this is a proven system, like follow it this way or something like that. And I don't have anything against that. I just think that we like when we like buy a proven system, quote unquote, we always have to look at, okay, where can I like make it my own? Like where do we need to tweak things so that we can easily like fall into the routine of doing that. So if you feel that it's kind of it's foreign to you, the system that you are testing, if it doesn't flow, if you find yourself constantly kind of like hitting against like how you need to do it, that means that it simply needs adjusting. So it's not always bad, but like always look for ways to personalize it, to make it your own, to see where you can make it flow in a way that you feel more comfortable with it, and then it will work for you.
Yeah. And I remember we instigated a big product development system from research right through to product launch in a big multinational corporation many years ago when I was in the corporate world. And I remember the resistance we faced there when we were bringing that on board, because the people in research in particular said, oh, we've got to have the freedom to be creative. And then we had consultants came in from one of the big consulting companies that wanted to do exactly what you're saying there. Here's a proven system. This is how you can do it. And they were going off textbooks. I remember having a wonderful discussion with them one day saying, you know, textbook system's not the right thing here, but at the same time, we've got to systemize this because everything is just so disjointed right now, and everything's in silos, you know, the different departments and the handoffs, things are breaking down when the handoffs are happening. And so we designed something that was very custom for us and worked for us. And I remember telling people, well, the system is not there as a rule to dictate how you do the work. The system's there as a tool to help you do the work. And so we're not a slave to the system. It's the other way around. Yeah. And this was something that the consultants then took away and said, oh, that's a brilliant. We hadn't thought of it that way. And I said, well, maybe you should.
I couldn't agree more with you. Yes, and good for you for insisting on just doing it that way, because that's the only way your system can work if you make it your own.
So how did you, when you first started then and realized that this was the way to get some structure in your business and some systemization in your business, how did you go about putting together the systems? Which ones did you start with, and what kind of process did you use?
I just went back to kind of day-to-day things that I was doing, kind of like everywhere where I felt that I've been wasting time or something that was not working. I went back and like tried to create kind of that checklist for myself, because I remember it was so ridiculous. It was very, very early, like before I started like all this systematization project like of my own business. I went to my husband because I was just like, I was so exhausted. I was like, my son was still like, our son was still like so tiny. I was also at the time, I was going to the university to learn the language, because in Belgium, they speak Flemish. I mean, we live in the Flemish part, and I did not know the language. So like there was like a lot, plus the household, plus like, all these pieces. So my list was a mile long. And I went to my husband one day when he said, like why are you so stressed? Like, why are you so kind of just agitated? And he said, like, look, my list is so long. Like, I don't know what to do. And his advice was, cut it in half. Okay, what do I do with the other half? But looking back, I realized how wise that advice was, just because there are always things that have to happen, and there are things that we want to happen, and we are a lot of times very like overly optimistic about how much time we have. And because we try and do it in a very, like everything that we have to do in a very short period of time, like much shorter than what that task needs, because a lot of times like those tasks are mini projects, then when we begin like criticizing ourselves and like that list starts growing and growing and growing, and like in the end it's kind of it's just like exhausting, like looking at it and thinking about it. So I just looked at, okay, for my business to work efficiently the way I want it to work, what do I need to do? I started with customer onboarding and customer management, because to me that was something that I needed to look at first to make sure that, okay, when somebody inquires about working with me, and they say yes to working with me, what would be the steps that I would need to take this person through so that they feel ready, that they feel that they are in hands of an expert. They feel that they, like, there is a system behind what I'm doing because this is what I'm telling them. So that was critical for me. Also structuring like my offers, the way I work with them, the way I keep track of our progress, because back then I was doing a lot of one-on-one coaching and I needed to make sure that when I take notes, they are not like all over the place. Like I know the homework assignment that they gave somebody. I know the progress that we've made together. I know the goals that they came in to me with so that we are actually hitting those goals. So customer management, client management was the first one. And then what followed were different marketing systems, like my own like task management systems, because like I started really, or I tried, I fallen into this trap. I overcrowd my task list. But another piece of advice that I heard and I started like almost like religiously following is planning my day the night before and looking at three things that I want to happen next day. Kind of just like if everything like else did not happen, like what are the three things that I want to happen tomorrow? And when I started narrowing it down, it started like slowly working, and I started making much faster progress. Something else that I introduced at some point were weekly reviews as well, so that I would know, because what I learned about myself is that I'm not good at blocking time and kind of like following, kind of just like, okay, like from 10 to 12, like you are doing this, and from 12 to 1, you are doing something else. It was not working for me, because when like something would shift, I would then like, oh, but the system is out of the window, so like what's the point following it? Again, like super, like it's personal. We might have some listeners who feel the same way. We might have others who are kind of time blockers. Really, like if it's your thing, like follow it. It was not mine, but what I realized that if I have a list for myself for the week, a weekly task list, then I felt much more in control, because I knew that if something shifted throughout the week, it's still not too late to complete it. But I would also do an end of the week review where I would see what happened, what didn't happen, and actually actively move things from one week to the next if I needed to, because that allowed me to see, oh, this thing, like I keep moving it from week to week to week to week. Is it, maybe it's not as critical as I think it is, or maybe I'm avoiding something, or maybe like there is something else. But then it's like I was not simply adding things to my list, but I would actually critically look at what was getting done and what was not getting done. And then I would almost like start every week fresh with, okay, like this is the list, and this is how much time I have, and this is what I'm expecting myself to get done. So basically it was that. It was kind of looking at what are the most critical parts of my business that I'm struggling with, and like starting to create structures in those areas.
Hmm. And how did you document your own systems?
It went through a number of revisions. And this is another thing about systems. This is for our listeners as well. Just be prepared that systems is something that, or systems work is the type of work that never ends. As frustrating as this might sound, just because there is always a way to improve our system. And as our business grows, the systems get a bit more complex and things change when we bring new tools, when we bring new people, when we start working on new projects. So it's perfectly okay for systems to be this area of our business that we constantly revisit and update. So in the very beginning, it was I would just have a number of documents in my Google Drive, kind of that would be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for different areas. After that, for a number of years, most of my systems lived in my project management tool. After testing so many, I can't even remember, I landed on Asana, and I loved my Asana systems so much and it wasn't about that. I remember a coach of mine helped me see that I am the type of person who doesn't like to add things. Like I'm the one that who subtracts. Like I need to make things simpler. I need to make things cleaner. Let me tell you another story, which was also super funny, because when I realized that the system is my thing, I also realized that I like following rules. Basically, I'm just like, I like systems. I like when it's like step one, step two, step three. And I've been super critical of that, like in myself, for the longest time, just because I was born in the USSR. So I thought that it was because I came from that country, that was the mentality that kind of like was forced on me. And I'm just like, I need to follow rules because I'm a USSR baby. And I was so protesting inside of myself, because like there were like, I was working with all these creatives that were like catching ideas right and left, and I was just like, system, like I need to have a system. I cannot work on more than one project at once. And just like, what's wrong with me? Like why am I not like normal people? And then I read a book by Gretchen Rubin, Four Tendencies, and like she talks about how different types of people relate to expectations, internal and external. And she describes like four major groups. And one of them is called upholders, people who really, when like they need rules, like they have to follow rules because like that's how they basically like succeed in life. Like there are others who are kind of external expectations are more stronger than internal. So when they make a promise to somebody else, like then they will do it. Like otherwise they will never keep a promise to themselves. Like for me, that's the easy part. Like when I know I need to do something, there is a system, I go for it. But then when I read that, I'm just like, oh my God, like, there is nothing wrong with me. Like I love systems. It's great that I have systems and it helps me. But then like I can simply create different types of systems for others, so it works for them as well. So to me, creativity would always shine through the systems I would create. And the reason I wanted to tell this story is like, because like that's how this whole idea about like, just like embracing the fact that I can like play with systems and make systems like something that other business owners embrace as well, it allowed me to look at different ways that this could be more fun and it would make sense. And to me, when I started working in Asana, I'm just like, why have like 15 different tools where these systems reside? Like we always come into Asana anyway, and we always need to like see what needs to happen. Why do we have this document separately? Like, oh, like a checklist is over there, but we are actually checking things off over here. So from like that conundrum in my head, what was born is this philosophy is that everything can live in one single tool. So I created a little training that I showed how I managed my business inside Asana. Like everything, like all my systems live there. Like I would create my step-by-step and create a template out of it and copy it like every time I need to onboard a client. Every time I would launch a program, like every time I would do a webinar. There was a checklist that I would simply copy and I would update. Like when one system would get upgraded, like I would simply make changes there versus like going in like five different places and change that step by step. But also I showed how you can use Asana to keep in touch with other people and how you can use Asana to manage your inbox. So like all of a sudden I'm just like, oh my God, I can get creative with systems. But even now, to a large degree, my project management tool is the place where systems reside, because I don't like waste. I don't like looking things up in 15 places. I don't like updating a bunch of places when like something changes. So I have implemented for clients systems in like system dedicated tools. Because there's a number of them that allow you to kind of like map something out and have this library of systems. Like, I've done that, and like for them, it works. For me personally, I'm more kind of just like, my systems are where my task management is happening.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's kind of, for me, that's always been a bit of an issue that there's so many different tools. And so I have a personal task management tool. We use Asana for project management. We have another, we use Notion to document our processes. Now, although I do have some projects in Notion, I think one of the projects for the next time we've got a little bit of spare time is going to be moving projects out of Asana into Notion, because we've already done that with some of our projects. So that would consolidate one, but it is certainly a challenge. And you've got note taking, you've got checklists, you've got a personal to-do list, and then of course the calendar as well.
Yeah, it's indeed super, super challenging to keep track of all the different tools that we're using, because I used to be completely, I was just like hoarding all these tools, because like you would hear a story like, oh my God, like this tool that does wonders. And then like you start using it. But then what started happening was that I would have a tool, like a bunch of tools, like each one would do like one thing. And I realized that like, I don't want a bunch of tools that do one thing each. Like I want a tool that does like 10 things at once. Because
and they don't talk to one another either.
Yeah, exactly. And like this is why in the end like we transitioned to dashboards, because just like our processes live everywhere, our information about what's happening in our business lives like in a bunch of different places as well. Mm. And it's I think that this is the biggest like struggle, especially for online businesses, or like there is like so much of what we do is online, that consolidating it into like as fewer places as possible. And it's still okay for things to happen or get registered in a number of places. But I think we all have to strive to at least like bring it into one tool where we can see things at a glance. Because at the end of the day, this is what we need. We want to be able to take a kind of like 30,000 feet view and see what's happening and what are the priorities and how business operates and like what are the different KPIs that we are seeing, what's working, what's not working. Because when everything lives in a separate tool, we cannot really compare, we cannot really draw conclusions, which is super challenging and causes like so much frustration, because like then we waste so much time like trying to figure out what needs to happen, but like testing something that we've already tested but didn't realize that we got the results for it. So yeah,
that's right. Well, it's fascinating learning about systems and how you approach that. And now we've touched on the dashboard, and that's certainly another thing that I'm really frustrated by. I share that view that you just said there, and in fact this afternoon before I got on the recording here, I was trying to put together something for myself and what I want to share with clients as well. And it's looking at social media, what's the results of things that we're doing on social media, and how much engagement are we getting, what are the most popular posts, how is the growth of our followers for the page. And then you do that for four platforms perhaps in social media. Now that's just social media. Then I think of, well, the podcast, how about the podcast? It'd be nice to kind of match that up and say, how many listeners am I getting? How long are they listening? Where are they listening from? I can see that on my podcast host, but how can I get that connected to the other things and say, well, how many of those listeners are going to social media? How many are going to my website? And then of course the website, we've got Google Analytics and Google Webmaster Tools. Even just that has got information in different places that actually should be in one place and should be together. And then of course you go back, okay, what else have you got in the business? You've got financial system that be nice to actually look at every now and then, like daily, and say, what's the sales, what's the profit numbers, what's the incoming and outgoing? What's the outstanding invoices? What invoices do I need to pay and when are they due and all that kind of stuff? So how do you look at all of that? And I've probably forgotten some. Look at all of that and try and bring it all together into a dashboard that you can kind of look at and say, okay, that shows me that, that shows me that, here's where I'm at.
Well, it's a collection of dashboards. So like, I won't lie to you, like there is no like one single place where I can look at financials and like social media and everything. And it does make sense because, as you said, it's challenging and sometimes it's easier to find a solution for just like a collection of tools that are like similar. So like, for example, just social platforms or just like our like bookkeeping software. But I try to make that data visual for myself and for my clients as well, because numbers by themselves are like super like challenging to kind of just like digest. Not for everybody. Like some people love spreadsheets. Like I don't particularly love spreadsheets. And it's not even about like love for spreadsheets or numbers. It's about that data being like actionable. It's about being able to look at something, dashboard or something else, and know that, okay, like based on this, this is the action that I need to take. For example, like you talked about listeners kind of like maybe finding you on podcast, but then like they follow this journey and like ideally they buy one of your products, but like what was that journey and what is actually happening? So to me, a dashboard is a place that allows you to see at a glance, okay, this is not just what numbers we are getting, but they are also supported by the how numbers. So like, how are we getting these results? So in terms of sales, it's great to know the number of sales, but what would be even better is when we know like how those sales happen, what were the marketing channels that contributed to like these people actually buying? Where did they find us in the first place with marketing channels? There are always marketing channels that allow us to kind of like bring our audience in and like engage them, allow them to learn about what we do. But then like other marketing channels like allow us to like just continue that conversation and like build trust, build commitment. And then like other ones, convert them into paying clients. And like knowing how each piece works and like what to expect from each piece. Like each piece has a number. That's the great part about the numbers. So it's not collecting numbers for the numbers' sakes, but it's actually seeing how these numbers contribute to that like final outcome, knowing your benchmarks more or less, kind of just like, okay, this is this, if we have like these number of listeners, it means that this percentage of these listeners will get on our email list and start receiving our emails and engaging in the conversation. And why percentage of those will buy eventually? So when you know what are the numbers for each step, then you can look at, okay, so if for some reason one of them is all of a sudden drops or peaks, like, you know, like, oh, like why did it drop? Like what happened? Like maybe we can we did something out of ordinary. Like, how can we fix that and get it back to the normal rate? Or if it peaked, oh my God, like what did we do? Like, can we do more of that to actually affect that number positively? So that's when we start the getting like almost like our power back when it comes to what we're doing is actually not simply trying things and kind of like doing things for the sake of doing things, but like we know that, okay, like if we do it this way, this is the result that we are going to get. So it's almost like marketing or running business like forward.
Yeah.
Kind of just like we're making predictions. And once we take action, we actually compare it to our predictions like, oh yeah, that did work. Oh, this did not work. Right. And then the like numbers become like less intimidating because I remember, like even for me in the early years, like my financial systems, I'm ashamed to say, was the last one that I attended to because I was afraid to look at the numbers because like we attach meanings to numbers and kind of just like, is it good? Is it bad? Like what does it mean about me? Whereas numbers, it's just like feedback. You did something. Here's your feedback. So when we like detach ourselves from the fact that they mean something, then they allow us to either like change the input to get the better outcome, or kind of just like, okay, like this great, this works great, let's do more of this. So when it comes to my own dashboards, I look at, or like I create dashboards first in the areas where I know that I will be able to affect that like final outcome, final goal that I'm working towards. So it's not about, again, like bringing everything together, but if I know that, okay, for me to have an X number of clients, this is kind of the pathway that I need to take somebody through from the moment they first find out about me to the moment they buy. Like I build that like out in a dashboard and I watch what actually happens. And then once I know like more or less, okay, for me to take people through these like three steps, these are the numbers like I should expect. Then I start like focusing just like on one piece and then like watching the rest of the dominoes like fall into place. And that's what allows me to kind of be much more focused and use my time much more efficiently, because like then I'm not thinking about doing like more of whatever I do, kind of just like growing by volume, but rather kind of finding that 1% that will make 99% of a difference.
Yeah, yeah. I like that you said it's kind of related to your marketing, because to me that sounds very much like what you're doing is looking at the whole customer journey.
Yeah.
And what the customer experience might be, because essentially you're taking your customers through a journey from finding out about you right through to purchasing your products or services, and then experiencing those products and services, maybe buying more products and services from you, but certainly going out and telling the world how great you are, which is one of the things that I think we often forget when we're building those journeys. And to build a dashboard that kind of follows that journey and shows you what's happening at each critical step, and you say, well, something's not right at this step because those numbers are, that result is not what I expect or what I want. And so you can kind of figure out what to do to change.
I love that you said that, Jürgen, because it is like with dashboards, and like you mentioned earlier, Google Analytics, it's when we come in and look at them, it's not about like coming in and looking like for like, oh, like let me figure out what I see. Like let me figure out what this means. No, like you come like even into Google Analytics, like as maybe controversial as this may sound, like you come in to kind of like prove or disprove your hypothesis. Because like you come in with this expectation that, okay, like things should happen this way. And it's not that like, it has to happen that way, but it's kind of, okay, like in my experience, clients that come from, say, Facebook are more engaged. Like they stay longer on the site, or they like listen longer for the podcast. And like when you come into your dashboard or Google Analytics with a question, then it's so much easier to find answer. When you come into that platform with kind of just like, okay, like this is what I think should be happening. Like, is it so? Then like you don't get overwhelmed by like just like this wall of numbers and information. Then you're looking for just one specific insight. And what that allows you to do is then take action. Like if it's yes, then like you know, okay, like let's do more Facebook. If like in the end, like you like that leads to the result that you want. If not, okay, like what is social media platform that contributes to us like most or like in the best way? Then it's an exploration versus, oh, like let me go and like figure out what's happening or like look back. I mean, it's good, but making projections and kind of answering the questions that you have, that's what any good dashboard should do.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I like how you said, you know, that I mean, it's so easy to be overwhelmed when particularly Google Analytics is a good one. You go in there and as you can find any sort of numbers and any sort of analytics there, and it's an amazing tool. But I've shown customers in the past and they've said, oh, what's this mean and what's that mean? I say, oh, don't worry about that. I don't really understand that either. Let's figure out what are we trying to achieve here? And let's see what that data tells us, whether we're on track or not. So, yeah, I like how you've said that, you know, look at asking the question and what's your goal that you want to achieve, and then look for the data to indicate whether you're on track or not.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful.
All right. Well, this is absolutely fascinating, Tasha. I could talk analytics and data and so on for ages. I'm not sure how exciting it is for the listener. I hope they've got a lot of value out. I'm sure they have out of what you've shared so far. But I think it's a good point now to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience based on your business and your career. And hopefully there's five questions. Hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that'll inspire the listener to go and do something awesome today as a result.
Absolutely. Fire away.
What's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Create systems. And it's not because I'm the one cool. I so strongly believe in systems, but I do believe that systems give us freedom, just because they allow us to structure things that like need to happen like anyway, because we need our brain like, for these like amazing, for our creativity to just like shine. But if we have all these like open loops about like, oh, like I need to do like this thing, but like I don't know like where to find it, or well, this project is kind of just like I don't know like what the next step is going to look like. So when we have like so much in our heads, it's really difficult to be creative. It's really difficult to have space to innovate. And it doesn't have to be like you, as long as somebody on your team can create systems for you to free this time for you, then like you'll have all the time and energy to come up with new things.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good explanation, and it's one that I think counters what a lot of very creative people might say about systems,
which is that it's
a restriction. It stops me being creative.
Yeah.
And I say, well, if you spend all your brain power trying to remember all the routine things you do instead of having systems that you just follow and you don't have to think about them, then you can actually free up brain resource to think of new ideas. Yeah,
that's,
I love it.
That's true.
What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
For me personally, what works for me is just like going outside for a walk. Like I give myself a break, because as much as I love systems and structures, a lot of times when I allow myself to disengage from like everything that I'm doing and like switch environment, that's the biggest thing for me. Like, when we travel, when we are in a completely new environment, but even like when I go for a walk and kind of just like, okay, like all of that like stays in the office, I'm going to just like take a break, then I have like all these amazing ideas and things that like finally click into place and kind of just like, oh my god, like yeah, it's just like allowing ourselves to unplug for it can be for 10 minutes, it can be for longer, but like that to me, like giving yourself a break and do something that you love and like allows you to relax, that to me the best way to kind of just like be energized and like come back stronger.
Yeah, I love that. I often get my best ideas when I'm out riding my bike on my own, and it's the same effect. Yeah,
exactly.
Now, I did have quite a while ago now on the podcast Dr. Fiona Kerr, who's a neuroscientist, and she talked about the importance of daydreaming to allow your brain to take that break, and that was actually you know, she had a very good scientific explanation which I can't reproduce now, but there was a very clear scientific explanation for how the brain then actually came up with new ideas because of taking that break.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
All right. Now, You mentioned Asana before. Do you have a favorite resource you use most often? Is it Asana or is there something else?
It is Asana for project management for sure. There are two other tools that I have fallen in love with over the past couple of years. One is called Airtable, and it's spreadsheets on steroids, so to speak. Mm. And like, I know that if we have people, like listeners who love Excel, they'll be just like, oh my God, like this is kid version or something like this. Like, it's incredibly powerful. It's much more colorful and it allows you to organize data in a number of different ways. So that's how we started building dashboards, because it allowed us to create this like really amazing structures where you can have this like massive database, but then be able to set a certain criteria and say like, show me just this, and then create kind of a view of just that. And that allows our clients to kind of zoom in on a kind of like specific project or a client, and then like zoom out and see the entire thing and like even like metrics for like how they're performing. And because like all these like different tables and views talk to each other, as like somebody is working on a specific project and updates what's happening and kind of like checks off the boxes or enters statistics, like all of that gets also reflected on the main dashboard. Mm. So it allows like so much efficiency. It's kind of just like it's incredible. But the tool that I've been like diving into lately, and like this is my like at the moment the dashboard tool that I go to, is Google Data Studio. Is really it's not as widely used for dashboards kind of like outside of Google Analytics. Like, you can easily connect Google Data Studio to Google Analytics and see the data that Google Analytics collects in like really, really amazing. You can see just what you want to see. It's really great. But Google Data Studio easily connects with like other data sources, they call them, and then you can present like any information in any way you want, like it's charts and graphs and everything that I mentioned to you earlier about dashboards and like showing you that customer journey and like calculating for you the percentage of like conversion between each different step. Data Studio is incredible about that. So like, to me, like that's the tool that I've totally fallen in love with, and like I've been experimenting a lot, and like something that allows to create like most like powerful and appealing and like not intimidating dashboards. So those are my three loves.
Okay, yeah. Well, I've played with Airtable in the past, and you're right, it's very powerful. I mean, it's kind of almost relational databases built on top of spreadsheets.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Which is pretty good. Now, I've started building relational databases inside of Notion, so I sort of moved away from Airtable.
Yes.
But yeah, I've looked at Google Data Studio, but I must go and explore that in some more detail. It's great. All right. Well, I think I know the answer to the next question. How do you keep a project or a client on track?
To us internally, it's Asana. Like for some of our clients, it's very much like Airtable. And again, like it does depend on the client. As long as you have a place where you collect these the critical parts of the project, that's going to be your tool of choice. And what I am really, really big on, and naturally this apply mostly to agencies or clients that work with that provide services, kind of just like smaller like number of like products or services. So it's not going to be as powerful for a business that like sells digital products, for example. But if you want to keep client informed about what is happening, don't go to email. Like, email is the worst thing to send updates or like even long documents, kind of just like outlining everything that you've done. Like, nobody looks at them. Nobody looks at documents. Nobody looks at spreadsheets. Nobody looks even at numbers, because it's heavy and it's like we don't have time for it. Like, even if you just like open an email with an attachment, it's just like, oh my God, like I'll come back to this when I have like mental space. And naturally you never do. But what I do in my business, and a lot of my clients work, do kind of just like have similar business models, and what works wonders is like you have a tool that like where you track everything that you need to do, but you also have a tool that shows that progress for a client. So we do a lot of dashboard work. So whenever it's time for me to update a client on something, I just give them a snapshot of the part of dashboard that I want to highlight to them, like something like to show the progress that they were able to achieve. But it's not only that, it's also a 1 minute video that accompanies that kind of report that walks them through those numbers, that walks them through what actually happened, that explains what progress they've made, like based on what they're seeing. You're basically deconstructing or kind of like explaining like all of what they're seeing. Like you're helping them to make sense of what they're seeing. And like that is such an amazing way to deliver like insane amount of value, because like then you take this off their shoulders to figure out what they're looking at. And you're also showing them your expertise. And it helps clients in like so many different ways. And they see you as an amazing service provider, and like they keep you for forever, and like you can increase your rates. Like with our clients, like I'll give you an example. We have a client, she owns a PR agency. And in the past, what she would do is she would send this like monthly reports with a list of like, hey, like these are the publications we pitched, and these are the publications that said yes, and these are the publications that kind of we're still expecting to hear from, and like blah, blah, blah. So it was like several pages. It took her team to compile it, a bunch of hours. Clients did not even read it. And she knows it because at some point she hired somebody who interviewed her clients like for her just to collect client feedback so that like she was not the one doing those interviews. And majority of her past clients said that, well, we don't really like know what she was doing. She's like, what? How can you even do that? Like, I've been sending you reports. Like, we've been meeting like regularly. Like, what do you mean? And then like we stepped back to see how they were, those clients were looking at the reports and like what they were doing, and like realized that like they never even opened them. So what she started doing, so her entire system now lives in Airtable, and that's really, it's one of the best things that we've built, just because like she has this massive media list inside Airtable. She has her clients inside Airtable. So every time she gets a new client, like they go to that big list, assign media outlets, and it just jumps to just like that client's list. So like, they have like big view and individual view. And every, now like she does every other week, she would just like take, like open her Airtable just for the, for that client, and in their table you can hide some columns so that not to overwhelm them, but like she would just like show them what would be useful for them to show, like list of outlets that they're pitching, and like she would just like work through the list and show them things that they are checked off, and just talk through that like 1 minute video, and then explain, oh, while we did like this outreach, we realized that pitch like it was, but this angle like worked best, that's why we are doing like this next time, or like this did not work well, or like we realized that based on like these outlets that booked you, that like we'll go with like similar ones. And it's really a tiny video, but she shows numbers, she shows the results, and she explains it to them like with the logic that they are using in order to figure out what the next steps should be. And then the clients, they started raving about it. They would send her like smileys and like hearts. The clients, like she works with tech companies. She's like, I never thought that those people can smile. Like they send her hearts over the weekend, like joyful, because like, oh my God, like how this is so incredible. Like we want to do this because like this, it adds so much value. And like, this is only because like you can show what you are doing. Like it totally, when you use like dashboards, like big or small in your business, they bring so much value to your clients. And like she, like this specific client, she tripled her rates in like 3 months, like even before we stopped working together, because it was like 3 month project. because like, everybody was just like, oh my God, like this is like, this is the most incredible thing ever to receive like this type of customer support. So sorry, I just get too excited.
Yeah. No, that's a great story. I love that. And I think, I've been doing that a lot with clients with Google Analytics reports and that, doing a video. I think it's the insights that add a lot of value. It's not the numbers themselves or what the graphs look like or even what the trends are. It's actually the insights to say, well, this is, you know, and you mentioned it earlier in the conversation, it's not what the data is, but what does it tell you? What decisions does it kind of prompt and what direction does it point you in terms of making business decisions? And that's what, you know, that's, you can do that in a very short video. You can say, well, here's the numbers, but this is what I think they mean. Or here's who we've pitched to in your example. And, you know, these people have said yes, so we're going to pitch to more of those people because they're all, you know, they all have this thing in common.
And then become a partner versus a vendor. And that's a huge difference because like then the client feels that, okay, like you get them. Like you are working towards the same goal versus like, oh, like this is another like line on my like expense report. Like, oh, I'm paying agency to provide like these results. But there's a huge difference. And like especially with PR agencies is one example, but like a lot of times when there is kind of like third party or something, so with PR agencies, like they have not as much control over what media outlets say yes, and like because like there are like other like news, like other things happening, so it's, we can like make projections or have that as a goal by the end of say 3 months to book you like on 10 podcasts, but there is never guarantee. But when you offer like this type of service where like you walk them like through your way of thinking about it, a way of going about it, and like results that you're currently getting, even when you're not hitting those goals that you've set or agreed with the client, they will still see how much work went into it and that they actually worked really, really hard to deliver those results. And like they will never even question the investment at the end. Whereas if it was kind of like 3 months and like somebody sent them kind of like two emails about two bookings, it's kind of just like, maybe they did not like even do anything. Like it's a huge, like that maybe I should ask my money back, or like maybe I should just like skip writing a review or like testimonial for them, or like maybe I should finish this collaboration altogether. Whereas like if you are seeing how much expertise and like effort goes into working with you, like then just like, yeah, like another 3 months, like let's do it. Like we've built this foundation. Like let's make sure that we are just like keeping the momentum. So yeah, it's so critical.
Okay. All right. Oh, well, that's great. I love that answer. All right. Now, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Well, that.
Yes. Videos.
Thinking about what could like elevate the way that you show your clients how you're delivering results to them. I think like by far, like that would be the best thing that would make you stand apart. And we have to mention that there are different businesses with different business models. So if you work with clients one-on-one, or it's like large projects, like close collaborations, something like what we discussed earlier would definitely be something for you to explore, whichever way it looks for you. Again, like there is like no right or wrong way, just like experiment and see how you can do that. But even when it's something kind of just like one to many, customer service is always something that will differentiate you from competition. Like you can be delivering the same exact product, but the way that you treat your customers, like the emails that go along with it, or maybe like little videos, or maybe like something funny, like something that will create an experience versus, oh, like here's your thing. That will always leave an impression, and that would be the reason why somebody would mention you to somebody else or come back to you when they are ordering something. So like anything that like has like customer-facing, customer relation, like aspect to it, like that's something like where I believe you have to look first to stand out. Plus, side note, the QR thing needs to be good, but that's granted.
That's right. Yeah, we're assuming that is right.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, I think you know that's a really good point. You know, keeping the customer experience in mind and making sure that's a really good one for every step. So even for the things that may be transactional in nature, typically make them a really good experience as well. All right. Well, thanks for getting us through the buzz round, Natasha. It's been really great having this conversation. Now, where can people find out more about you and what you do and maybe even reach out to say thank you for what you've shared today?
Sure. Systemsrock.com is my site. There are different places where you can reach out. On the site, Facebook also Systemsrock. Like on all platforms, it's Systemsrock. Or you can just Google my name. I think like I'm the only one with that name.
You're unique.
I am very much so.
Yeah. All right. Do you have some parting advice you'd like to leave our listener today?
What I just wanted to highlight is that I know that we talked a lot about systems and numbers, and however you feel about these two words, if you could leave aside, especially if you don't really like that, you don't really think of yourself as a systems or numbers person, you feel that they kind of just like they put you in a cage and don't allow you to be as like, free or creative as you want to be. I would suggest that if you were to put this away, if you kind of just like, okay, like if I was not that kind of person, what would be possible if I just say brought a couple more systems in my business? If I started looking at the just a few sets of numbers, kind of just like from like a clean slate, I think that it might surprise you the result of that experiment. Because like a lot of times like we start like seeing ourselves as like this type of person or another type of person, whereas in reality we can like totally bend the rules. Like it's not that like, you don't have a gene that like, you are not a numbers person or not a systems person. This is how we see it. And the freeing part about that is that if we declared ourselves to be that way, we can declare ourselves to be a different way. So like to me, like there's freedom in kind of let's experiment with that. Because there are like so many arguments for having systems in business or keeping track of your numbers. So try that. And if you don't like it, maybe bring a team member who does. But like, don't rule it completely out.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that, Natasha. Finally, who would you like me to chat with on a future Another Buzz podcast and why?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm a connector by nature. Like, I can give you a very long list. I think with you, have you talked with Denise Duffo Thomas? She's also Australian. She talks about money mindset and she talks about things about kind of like freeing ourselves from like the way we view money. And it is about kind of personal freedom, like more than money. So I think like Denise is like such a wise person. So I would love to introduce you to Denise. She's also Australia based. I can give you an entire list. Oh, somebody else, like Lacey Boggs, she's actually, she's a copywriter who is also, she helps bloggers to kind of like find their way to make their copy much more persuasive and stand out online. So Lacey would be amazing as well.
All right. Well, we'll get an introduction to Denise and to Lacey from you and we'll reach out to them and bring them on for a conversation.
Yeah,
well,
for sure. And I'll be happy to provide an entire list.
Okay.
I have.
All right. Well, we'll see who else we can identify. Yeah. Well, thanks very much for sharing your time and your insights so generously with us today, Natasha. This has been fun. And I've learned a lot about how you approach systems and processes. Of course, you've been preaching to the converted here, but I think it's really valuable to hear your insights and how you got started and how you build things now. So all the best for the future, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you, Jürgen. It's such a pleasure. Like, thank you for giving me the opportunity to just geek out about these things. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that delightfully engaging and informative conversation with Natasha and took something away from her episode. My highlight from Natasha's episode was her approach to constructing dashboards that present data in alignment with the journey your customers take with you, thus allowing you to see where that journey might be getting interrupted. I'd love to know what you took away from Natasha's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Natasha Vorompiova. That is NatashaVorompiova. Got all that? All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Natasha Vorompiova. Now, we might add another one to that. innovabiz.co/Natasha V. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Natasha there, as well as links to the Systems Rock website, her social media pages, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Natasha suggested that we have a conversation with money mindset mentor Denise Duffield-Thomas and with content marketing strategist Lacey Boggs-Renner on future InnovaBuzz podcast episodes. So Denise and Lacey, keep an eye on your inboxes for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Natasha Vorompiova. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including author of The Attention Factor, Alice Aspen March, and Roger Salem of The Winner's Circle International. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.